AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. Welcome to the Voices of Courage show, where we help you to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. Today, we have a very powerful show. We're going to talk what's really beyond the senses of sight, sound, taste, touch. We're going to talk about the unknown, the unseen, the areas that you can start to be able to understand so that you can see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. We're going to be talking about metaphysical science and metaphysics in itself. These are principles that teach us that all intelligence originates from the universal consciousness. And when you align your mind through either meditation or contemplation or tune into your intuition, your conscious intention, what happens is that you start to tap into that creativity, insight, and inspiration that's within you. In other words, you start to tap into your inner genius. How cool is that? So, you know, is this possible for you? Well, the answer is absolutely. And I know I started on this journey back in 1992 when I had an awakening of sorts, and then it progressed. You know, it wasn't something I had this immediate, oh, I'm seeing auras or I'm walking on water. Nothing like that happened to me. But what did happen was that there was this continuous expansion of consciousness, this continuous sense of peace, of courage, of strength within. And the more that I learned how to still my mind, the more that everything expanded. In fact, stillness is the price of greatness, I would say. And to get still, we have to isolate ourselves. We have to be able to step back from the world and get still, like I said, and be able to go within ourselves. In fact, when I write books, that's exactly what I do. Many times I'm in a meditation, a contemplation place, and all of a sudden, the idea expands inside of my mind, or just drops in, I should say, and then it expands. And I immediately take action around that, because what I've found is if I don't write it down or if I don't put it into a book, it disappears. It's like it vanishes. But when I do put that in there and I read it back, that's where the wisdom comes in. That's where the magic comes in. And that's what I want for you. You know, genius is not limited by IQ. It's limited by perception. Metaphysical principles work because they help dissolve self-imposed barriers, you know, fear and doubt and worry and uncertainty. And, you know, this past conditioning that we have, you just turn on the news, it's all fear-based. So if you're putting that in your mind, I shouldn't say all, that's a big word, but a lot of it is fear-based, right? You get it. If you're putting that into your consciousness, then you're probably going to outpicture it in your life, right? You know, there was a saying in the Gospel of Thomas that they found at, I believe it's Nag Hammadi, some of the scrolls they found, and in it it says that if you don't bring forth that which is within you, that which is within you will kill you. But if you do bring forth that which is within you, that which is within you will save you. What is it talking about? It's talking about bringing your inner genius into the world. It's talking about you aligning in coherence with this universe that is all around us, and you're part of it. It's not separate from you. You are it. In fact, there's a lot of science now. You know, the observer changes the reality. So how you perceive or see changes reality. And for me, I know that I practice this, this trying to be positive. in fact, it was, I try to think of the name of the author, but he challenged, it was a challenge for 7 days to only think of positive thoughts for 7 days, which I thought I could do that. But he also said if, he was a Unity teacher, I'm trying to think of his name right now, but he also said if you have a negative thought, negative starts coming in, if you don't dwell on it, that's okay. But if you have a thought that comes in and you start thinking, oh, you know, this person said this to me now, the last week and the week before, I don't like this. You have that, you got to start over. Well, the reason I'm telling you that is because it took me about a year to accomplish that. Now, I've heard other people it's taken decades to do that. But for whatever reason, I was able to do it in about a year. What happened for me is that I was shot into another dimension because it was like taking a dark pair of sunglasses off I didn't even know I had on. And everything started to be fluorescent, and it lasted for about 3 days. Just brilliant. What is that, right? What was that? Well, we're talking about being able to expand your consciousness today. I have a very special guest that knows the higher principles, knows the higher laws. In fact, he talks about it in his book we're going to talk about, the metaphysical principles. What is metaphysical, right? It's over and above what we can feel, taste, sense, or smell. It's past that, right? It's what I talked to you about in the beginning. So we're going to be talking about his new book and how to expand your consciousness, probably by just reading the book, by the way, which is not a bad thing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a break, and then when we get back, I'll have my very special guest. Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I have my very special guest, Bill Combs, with me today. Bill, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you, Ken. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's awesome to have you here today. You've accomplished a lot in your life, and when I read about your latest book, I thought I gotta have Bill on my show. So for those of you that don't know Bill, he is a stories have always been Bill's gateway to mystery, to meaning, to unforeseen forces that are shaping our reality. From a young age, he was captivated by the power of storytelling, the way a well-woven tale could transport, transform, and reveal truths buried deep within history and the human soul. Writing isn't just a craft for Bill. It's his exploration of the unknown. His passion lies at the crossroads of fiction and the esoteric, where ancient mysteries whisper through the cracks of time and spirituality weaves its golden thread through the human experience. He is endlessly fascinated by the wisdom of lost civilizations, the hidden teachings encoded in myths, and the quantum nature of reality itself. That we could take any one of those here and take a deep dive into it. Yeah. But I think what I'll start with is the book that's that we're going to talk about, The Quantum Gate. And also you told me you got the second one just hit the bookstores this week, which is awesome. So Quantum Great Gate, what, you know, I can see why you wanted to write it. As you wrote it, how did it change you?
It's actually been changing me most of my life. The Quantum Gate, the story of that started when I was a boy. I had discovered My mom kept books on Edgar Cayce. And when I was very young, I found them, started reading them, got really fascinated by the idea of this Hall of Records, and daydreamed all types of scenarios, you know, for years, for decades. And so the Quantum Gate became sort of my manifestation of some of those ideas and stories that I told myself as I was growing up.
Wow. Okay. Well, did you plan it to be, you know, both a, like a, well, it's a thriller and also a guide to awakening. Did you plan that or did that just unfold?
No, I planned that. I feel like when I'm telling a story, if you tell a story and it's kind of slow and boring, no one's going to really pay attention. So sometimes the best way to tell a story is to make it exciting and to throw in those little nuggets every once in a while that makes people kind of like, oh, that's interesting.
Well, you know, it's let's talk about the codes. You know, there's been, you know, ancient codes, you know, that have been, some of them have been defined and redefined over the years. You know, the spiritual codes that really allow us to tune into higher realms of consciousness. Is that part of the book? Is that in the book at all, or how did you weave codes in the book? Let's go there.
I would say that it's not very prominent in the first book. It is more prominent in the second.
Okay.
The idea of codes to me is the idea of frequency and sound. And so I actually created part of it was creation, part of it was intuition, part of it was download and meditation, a language of Atlantis. And I use that language, you know, throughout the books and throughout most of my fiction right now as a way of, it's the language of Atlantis is both a sound-based language and also a concept-based language. So when you speak something or you say a sound, it has an automatic resonance to an object. And so these are the things that I rolled into the story. It makes for a fun story. You could look at it and you could dive deep into the language. I have a full lexicon and, you know, definitions and things that are available. But for most people, it could just be fun to read about it.
Well, I think it is fun. And I think it explores new realms of consciousness. You know, when I think of Atlantis, you know, there's a lot of myth around Atlantis. No. Where are we now? Maybe you don't know, from a science-based point of view as to that did Atlantis exist or not exist, right?
I think science would tell you that it's inconclusive. There's lots of evidence that thinks there's something older that existed prior to our current known history. Göbekli Tepe is a good example, but the other one didn't older than that. But no one will sit there and tell you that, oops, we found Atlantis. That's not quite
right. Yeah. Well, listen, can you share the metaphysical, mystical, occult teachings that inspired this book, you know, the key elements of this book?
It's actually very similar to your own teachings in the sense that it's about, I kind of use something called the uplift model, and that uplift model represents the ideas of unity, presence, love, transformation that are encompassing the if, which I call the sacred if. That is the power to create and transform. So instead of saying something is not going well, you would say something like, what would happen if it changed? What would happen if this became something that I'm not expecting? And those powers, those ideas were woven into the Quantum Gate in subtle ways. The first draft, I was a little heavy-handed with the metaphysical philosophy. And some of my readers came back and said, it's a little heavy-handed with the metaphysical philosophy. So I had to go back and pull it back a little bit and make it a little more subtle, but it's still there. And really the two big ones there were, choice was a big one, the power of choice, and the fact that choice is not something that is restrictive. It's that whole quantum mechanics superposition idea that choice is not one or two, it's infinite numbers, and you could choose something different than what's you think is the only two options.
Yeah, I love that. You know, when I think of choice, I always, you know, even I teach my clients, you know, there's always the third choice. Always look for the third choice. Get out of black and white. And then, you know, the fourth, fifth, and sixth choice, right? You know, so there's that piece. But, you know, choice is an interesting piece. I'm glad that's in the book because a lot of people feel like they do have choice, But what I've seen over the years is that if you've got an addiction going on, let's say an addiction to food, or, you know, it can be greed, an addiction to making money, addiction to sex, addiction to alcohol or drugs, addiction to anything. I mean, this is almost the planet of addiction when I look around sometimes. But, you know, what happens is that if you're going down that path, your choice is has been, I guess you're kind of blinded, is what I would say. And maybe choice isn't there like you think it is. What do you think about that?
I mean, I feel like that choice is always there, but it's our ability to perceive it. Yeah. So like a case of addictions, or even in the case of people who are, you know, struggling in their life, they limit what they could see as possible choices. And when you limit choice, it's like collapsing the waveform in quantum mechanics. If you have infinite possibility here, and then you basically start narrowing your choices down to, you know, one or two, then those are the only two choices you can perceive. But there could be a million other ones that could happen to you. For example, if I'm trying to bring abundance into my life, and I might see that my only choice is to go out and, you know, work 8 hours a day in a corporation or whatever. And I'm okay doing that. You could do that. I've done it myself for decades. But at the end of the day, you could also simply, you know, be open to the idea that maybe something will come to me, an inspiration will come to me, or maybe I'll meet somebody, I'll have an opportunity. There's so many possibilities that to limit yourself to just one is kind of doing yourself a disservice.
I would say that that's 100% true. And, you know, I love your book because it expands the possibility, you know, of what's possible, right? And I think I can just speak in my own life, you know, looking back at choices that I made based out of limitation, really thinking that I was limited to, now I remember when I started writing my first book, you know, I was like, well, how's that ever going to happen, right? And, you know, it's one of those thoughts. And then some, you know, I had a beautiful wife encourage me, yeah, go write your book, you know, and I started down that path. And what happens when we start down a path, a courageous path like that, is the people, the places, the tools, everything we need starts showing up when we have commitment to it. And, you know, and actually that's when courage shows up. That's been my experience. You know, we all have courage innately in us, but it doesn't show up until you take a step into the unknown. Yep. And I think that's, you know, and anything that helps me to keep breaking the boundaries and move past my limitations, get into the unknown, is what I want to read. So that's what we're talking about your book today, The Quantum Gate. I've got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about your protagonist, I can't even say it today, protagonist, and a little bit about the challenges and the transformation that he's going through. So,
sure.
Yeah. All right. So we'll take a quick break and then we'll talk about that.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I'll be right back with my guest, Bill Combs, in just a second. Listen, I have an idea for you. Why don't you click on the button down below if you're watching on YouTube right now and subscribe. And for those of you that aren't on YouTube, you can just go over to youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork. The at is a little at sign, right? youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork. Now, why would that be important for you? Well, You will not miss any of these amazing shows. You'll be notified. And more important, I believe life is chiefly service. So you'll be able to be of service to those that you care about and love and have them watch these incredible shows that upshift their consciousness. All right, back to my guest, Bill Combs. All right, Bill. Okay, your protagonist, right? He undergoes both external challenges and internal challenges. I want to talk a little bit about his journey, how you structured it, the stages he went through in this spiritual initiation. Can you talk to us about that?
Sure, sure. My protagonist is Dr. Ethan Cross, and he is a quantum physicist. He was a very famous, very well-respected quantum physicist. Until he got caught up in the idea of that consciousness is not necessarily centered in the human brain, that it actually creates reality. So he kind of got into that, to the metaphysical side of quantum physics. And as he started getting into that, it started causing some issues. Now, he had a tragedy in his life. He lost his wife fairly early. They had a 12-year-old daughter at the time, Sophie. And because he lost his wife and it really hit him hard, he literally kind of shut himself away from Sophie, from the world, and kind of got obsessed with the idea of quantum mechanics and also finding the Hall of Records, which he was exposed to when he was younger. And so a friend of his came in and kind of helped take care of Sophie during those years. And then the book kind of starts about 15 or so years later. Sophie herself has become an astrophysicist. They have a very strained relationship. Ethan is more the believer. He's more he's willing to look at things in a different way. Sophie's a very hardcore, materialist science. That's all there is. And when Ethan gets, his friend that took care of Sophie for him ends up dying. And about 2 years after that death, he gets a letter from that dead friend, which kind of spurs his journey onward. And Sophie, trying to make sure her father's okay, decides to go with him. And in that journey, they both transform. They both discover, they get to know each other really well, both in the present as well as what happened when the mother died. So there's a big kind of a father-daughter evolution that occurs and internal initiations for both of them. And it's only because they go through these initiations, go through these trials, that they're able to actually even approach the gate to the Hall of Records.
Well, those trials that we all go through in life, I know I've gone through them in life. And, I would say this, that pain is, it's been said, pain is the touchstone of spiritual growth, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody likes to feel pain, but it, when I woke up, I said, earlier in the show, I said I had kind of an awakening in 1992. Well, that awakening was this little voice coming in saying, you got to feel the pain to make the change. And at that time, I was just chasing pleasure. And, when I started to hear that and started to understand that was a voice of wisdom, voice of courage, and I started to actually follow that. That's the voice it's changed everything in my life. Right. And that's what we're talking about in the book. So it's that transformation, that challenges that we go through that, nobody wants to hear, oh, you'll be stronger when you're going through a transformation because you're like, I just want to get out of it. I don't want to go through this challenge, this pain, this suffering, this misery. I just don't want to do it.
They call them like goo. They're the goo. Transformations are goo. It's like when you're in that chrysalis stage,
yes,
and that caterpillar breaks down to nothing but goo. And transformations are just messy.
They're just messy, and that's a good way to describe it because you're in this place that you're not familiar with a lot of times, and it's just like, what is this gooey, sticky? What is this? Why am I having to go through this? And it can be a transformation where all of a sudden you have a lot of money, and all of a sudden you don't. Or all of a sudden you're in a relationship and it's gone. Right. Or all of a sudden your doctor gives you a diagnosis of cancer and you're like, what? And it's like, okay, now it's time to understand that I have choice, like your book. I have choice. I can either collapse under this,
Right.
Or I can heal, grow, evolve, develop, and come through this in a much stronger way. I think that's what we're talking about. Lynn put the book up there so everybody has it, Bill. So it's The Quantum Gate, and Bill Combs is the author for my radio audience. You know, we have almost a million people a month listening to us. Actually, we have over a million in many months listening to us on AM FM across the nation on AM FM 247. So we just want to give them a shout out. The Quantum Gate, Bill Combs. Bill, where can they get the book?
You can get it either at Amazon, which is it's an Audible, it's got Kindle, it's got paperback, or you can buy it directly from my website through ebook if you want to get that way. Either one.
And it is on Audible.
Uh-huh. It is on Audible. Yep.
Okay. And now it's a 2-book series, and it's soon to be a 3-book series next year.
Yep.
Okay. So that's important. The reason I mention that is because I love to listen to books when I drive.
Right. So, right. Yeah, me too.
And my wife likes to listen to books just like this with me because we like to have thriller, adventure, and, you know, we're driving down the highway, and yeah, it's awesome. So that's cool. All right. I want to ask you this. Let's just take one metaphysical principle that's in the book. What would be the one that kind of stands out for you that people read this and might shift their consciousness as they read this book?
It's got to be choice. Choice is a recurring one in there. It is sort of the climactic component there. There are little mini ones that occur throughout, but it's choice, and wrapped around choice is the ability to expand what's possible in your mind and not limit yourself to what you think your limits are. Not basically allowing your limitations to define all possibilities for you.
Well, I love that. You know, I think of myself, I think about, I attended an event in San Diego with my wife, and it was a team in training event. And, we sat there. Judy wanted to go there, and you know, she wanted me to, you know, get into bicycling, right? And I've had a bike since a kid, but you know, I went there, and they said, "Well, we're going to teach you to ride a 100 miles century ride, and you're going to raise $2,500 for our children." I was like, "Oh, I see. Okay, thanks, Judy." So we signed up, right? And, you know, this transformation piece we're talking about, you know, this choice, I made a choice to do it, and I made a commitment, and I knew it'd probably be hard, but I didn't know it'd be as hard as it was, right? Yeah, I remember the first 25-mile ride I went on, you know, I was by the side of the road getting sick. And the second 25-mile ride I went on, I was by the side of the road getting sick. But the third one, I was okay.
You're okay.
And then I knew I'm going to be able to do this, right? And I think that a lot of us go through those kind of things when we're breaking through these limitations.
Yep.
And so I want to talk about quanticism and how it influences events in the characters in the book.
Quanticism is a philosophy that a term I coined, and it represents the marriage between quantum physics and mysticism, hence quanticism. I teach it here locally. I do, you know, live workshops here. I wrote a book, a nonfiction book on the philosophy and what I came up with. And I just published my newest one, which is called The God Particle Within. And that all represents the evolution of quanticism. And so the idea of unity, the idea of presence, transformation, choice, all of those are represented in The Quantum Gate. And they are, again, they're not heavy-handed. They're not like, you know, they're not like lectured, but they are part of the character's journey and what they have to contemplate as part of that journey.
I love that. All right, listen, I'm going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after we get back. I want to take a little deeper dive into quanticism because you got my attention there, and especially with that piece of unity. So we'll be talking about that after we get back from the break.
The station that makes you feel good.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I'm talking with author Bill Combs. He's got a new book out, the second book in his series, The Quantum Gate. And we are talking a little bit about quanticism. I want to take a little deeper dive into that, only because you mentioned something about unity, and I think I'm so focused on that right now. When we have a country that is so divided, and you know, this when we're tuning into what I want to say, whether it's quantum physics, quantum mechanics, string theory, neuroscience, all of it shows us that everything is connected. You know, entanglement theory. Everything is connected. We're all connected. And we got to, you know, I think there's a part of us that really have to understand that piece of connection so we don't get caught up in the, just the words that separate us, you know. So how does this book, how does quanticism tie into unity? Because you mentioned that.
Yeah. So, I think the best way for me to talk about that would be to use the metaphor that I like to use, which is the idea of the six blind men and the elephant. And now many people have heard about this. This is the idea that you have an elephant in front of you. You have six blind guys, and they're each trying to determine what the elephant is. They've never seen one before. They never experienced one before. And they're touching various aspects, the leg, the trunk, the tail, the body, the ear. And they each determine it to be something different. You know, the person touching the leg thinks it's a tree. The tail is a rope. The trunk is a snake. The body is a wall. And so what happens is, in this case, is each of these individuals are experiencing a firsthand experience about what this is. And they shout it out, this is this. And what happens is that the ones that are around them all shout out their own, and they start arguing about it, back and forth, back and forth. So they kind of argue about this thing. And first of all, there's two things you note. One is they're all wrong. Every one of them is wrong. But the other thing is, what would happen if instead of debating our perceptions of the universe, we shared them? And so if these six blind men shared each of their perceptions and were open to the sharing of another, their perception of the elephant would increase. If they all shared it, they might actually be able to discern that it is an elephant. If we share our beliefs with each other in a way that said, I want to go ahead and understand your perspective, and I'm going to share my own, maybe we can go ahead and expand our awareness of what the universe is.
Yeah, I love that. And I would say that the elephants, you know, that metaphor is great, because each one of them thought they were right. I'm right, you're wrong. You know, I'm right, you're wrong. But when everybody comes together, we see the bigger picture. And we're able to use our own individual perceptions to bring our points of view in to paint that bigger picture together. You know, I know for me, I work with teams. You know, I have teams that put together all my shows and what have you. And everybody has a unique point of view. Everybody has unique talents. But we all come together with a united purpose, which is to reveal the truth. And, you know, that's exactly what this book is about, because it's pointing the way to truth. It's pointing the way, hey, have you seen this? Maybe you want to consider this piece. Maybe you want to go down this direction. Right. You know, I think, you know, in fact, what I'd like you to do is give me a behind the scenes kind of tour of the, you know, who are the guardians, you know, in the book, what is the gate, you know, what truths have been forgotten by humanity that might be revealed in the storytelling of the book. You know, I'm interested in that.
Well, I gotta be careful because some of these things are key, you know, discoveries, and they kind of go into it in the other book. But the Guardians are sort of they were created at the fall of Atlantis, and their whole goal is to protect and guard the Hall of Records, to keep it from getting somebody getting in there that's going to use its knowledge, you know, inappropriately. There's a deeper story behind them, but that's not come to fruition. It hasn't been published yet, so I don't want to get into that too much. As far as the truths about things, it's really the idea of, and it's kind of culminates at the end of the Quantum Gate. I could give this piece away. Ethan actually writes his own book. He writes a book, and the book is called Uplifting Humanity. So that book I wrote because it's basically designed to do the same thing. It's designed to get people to understand my piece of the elephant and to encourage them to share theirs. And that's kind of what, you know, ultimately one of the things that I wanted folks to be able to do. Now, other things like, let's see, there's the Guardians, there's the other group is the Collective, which I gave it that name with a very specific reason. It's the Collective. It's kind of like the collective consciousness, the collective societal ideas. It's the group that tends to look at things in a very specific way. Again, they limit their perception to just one, you know, myopic kind of thought. And it's that kind of battle between, you know, that more broad and opening kind of what if versus this is the only if you're allowed. And it's that kind of battle that occurs there.
I love that. Do you touch on some of the principles maybe in the book, like Tesla's principles? You know, everything is energy, frequency, and vibration. And when you start to understand that, you can start to raise your vibration through maybe some of the principles that are in the book.
A little bit in that one. They're much bigger in the second book, Echoes of Atlantis. Resonance becomes a big thing. So does memory.
I love that. Hey, you know, how much of this book, these books are paralleling your life? I'm just curious.
Every character in all these books represent a part of me. I mean, even the antagonist is a part of me in that antagonist. And I've had, you know, it sounds crazy, but when I wrote the first couple drafts, I was telling their story. And it wasn't coming out really well. So I ended up meditating. I meditate every day. And so I started sitting down and saying, okay, you tell me your story. And I would talk to each of them and let them tell me their story. I had to rewrite the whole book because it was a totally different story. But it was a much better story than the one I'm trying to tell.
Yeah. And so that's very interesting because they're telling their story through you, yeah. But it's your story. You know, you had to get in touch with you at a deeper level to be able to speak that story. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yep. And I think some of that story is, could be past life information. It could be just connecting to the collective. Yeah. It could be things that people need to hear. I don't really know.
Yeah. Well, you know, it shows up in my life, miracles, magic, synchronicity all the time. And, you know, I've realized that everything has a purpose, everything has a reason, including if you're listening to this right now and you're thinking, well, maybe I should get that book, go buy the book, right? Because there's no coincidences in life. It's like, oh, you're showing up. Oh, I get it, you know? And, you know, it's interesting because I've learned that resistance is part of that past life karma, okay? Past life meaning can be, you know, when I was a child, okay? Or it could be another lifetime. Right. But if that resistance going, well, I don't know if I should, I know I want to, but I, you know, that's the thing we have to break through, right? That's what's holding us back. So I just
writing was one of those for me. Just even taking the idea of writing a book was breaking through that.
It was breaking through that, yeah. Yeah, and for me, I went from, okay, I can be a writer, and now I'm an author. Okay, I can be an author now because I wrote the book. Right. Now I'm a best-selling author. Okay, My next step is New York Times bestselling author. But, you know, that's it's a progression, and we step into that.
Yep.
Yeah. So, all right, great. Well, all right, I'm going to take another quick break. We'll be right back, and we'll be talking a little bit more about the quantum gate, and maybe I want a little sneak preview of this second one you got out there. Okay. So we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Ken D. Foster, and I'm with Bill Combs, author, and he's got the series. He's working on a series. He's got the second book out already. It's called The Quantum Gate. I love that title, by the way, Bill. Okay, sneak preview. What am I gonna? You know, it's like, you know, something gonna wake up in me when I read these books. What do you think is gonna happen here?
It could. I've had people tell me that. It could also be just, you know, a fun, you know, read of a thriller. I made these thrillers to be something that, like, if you enjoy the Da Vinci Code, you'll have fun with it. If you enjoyed Indiana Jones, you'll have fun with it. And you may just have fun with it for the sake of having fun. But you might also notice things in it that, oh, that's kind of cool that's in there. And so that's why my moniker is entertain and inspire, because I want to do both. I feel like if you can entertain, you're going to inspire. And if you inspire, you have to entertain. And so they kind of become, you know, synonymous with each other. And the next book, I'm also really big on cinematic flow and just, you know, the grandeur of that, you know, traveling through Egypt and going through all these places. It's just fun. And it makes for good storytelling. Echoes of Atlantis literally takes place a couple months after the end of the Quantum Gate. And it's a bigger book. It's a little deeper. It's a little bit darker. It's, you know, getting into some of the things now that, you know, when Atlantis fell, what did it leave behind? What are some of the core wounds in our genealogy, you know, within the human race, and how are they manifesting themselves through history? And then what happens if those things become personified as something we got to deal with? How do we do that? You know, so there's a lot of pieces in play there. And the third book will culminate that story arc. I call the series The Ascension Chronicles for a reason. That's not a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because it's not hard to go back in history and go back in time, especially when you're tuning into what you said, you're a meditator. So we both tune into the superconscious mind, Akashic records, whatever you want to call it, universal principles. And when you do that, you can understand what caused a society like Atlantis to collapse. And you can see the, like you said, the projections of what we are now. And, you know, we have choice, right? You know, we have choice. We can go down the path of destruction. We can go down the path of enlightenment and love and courage and wisdom. And we can bring in either one of those. We got choice. And each individual has that choice. You know, I tell people, if you want to change the world, change yourself. Okay. Change you, and you've got what you need to do. And then you'll start to be able to be part of the solution instead of part of the problem of just repeating what's already been said. So, you know, this book, I think, I love the fact that it's a thriller. I love the fact that you can take it in the dark, because you know what? We live in the dark most of the time, and we got to understand the dark if you want to understand the light. That's what I know. So, great book. I'm so glad to have you on the show here. And I guess what I want to say is I'm going to put it back on the screen real quick. It's called The Quantum Gate, Bill Combs. Go get it. Why not? Why not to the next level? Why not? You know, if you don't get it, somebody else will. You might as well be you. All right. All right, Bill, thanks so much for being here. And I really appreciate your time with us today.
Ken, thank you so much for having me. It's been a joy.
And all of you, I want to thank you for tuning in. Again, I encourage you to sign up over there at YouTube. Subscribe so you don't miss a show at youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork. From my heart and to your heart, you know, keep on seeing the unseeable, knowing the unknowable, and you will be able to do the impossible. Till next time.
Thank you.